Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hey, I'd like to open this morning by praying. Should we do that first of all? Yeah, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you give us instruction, give us insight, and you give us wisdom from your word. Lord, may we gain some understanding today of what it is the Spirit is saying to the church. Help me, Lord, to speak only your words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, it was Vision Sunday just a couple of weeks ago, as you know, and it was actually during the pre-service prayer. For those of you who don't know, every Sunday we actually have a prayer meeting right here, half an hour before church starts, and we pray into the service, which is really cool. But on Vision Sunday, we were at the HBF Arena, and we're in that pre-service prayer moment. And I really felt God dropped a picture into my heart, a scripture, right in that moment. And I was a little puzzled at the time as to what he was actually saying. I remember going out to the foyer area where Christine was greeting some people at one of the doors, and I said, I think I know what I'm preaching on in a couple of weeks' time. And she's nodding. She agrees. It's always a good start when your wife agrees. But the interesting thing was it didn't take shape for quite some time until I began to meditate and until I began to seek God into this space. And he actually began to show me a picture out of Joshua chapter 5 of the encounter with Joshua and the commander of the army of the Lord. And in that moment, he began to show me that there are some real correlations between what Joshua was facing and what it was like in the circumstances that we are in as a church here in a church plant in Scarborough. He began to show me some of the pictures. And to give you a bit of a background on the book of Joshua, this is a time where the children of Israel have been in the wilderness now for 40 years. So they came out of Egypt. And at this point in time, Moses is now dead. He's gone. He's finished. Their leader is gone. And now it is time for Joshua to step up and lead the people. They're in that moment where they have just crossed over into the Jordan, over the Jordan River, into the Promised Land. And in that moment, God says to Joshua, take a stone from the center of the River Jordan, one for each tribe, 12 stones, and set up a monument on the other side of the bank in the Jordan, so that it is a testimony to the generations to come that this is what the hand of God did. Really important that we understand that when God moves, when God does something, we need to declare it. We need to set it for the generations. We need to make an understanding so that people can see what his hand has done. Now, not only have they stepped over into the Jordan, they are now eating of the produce of the land, the promised land. That's quite phenomenal when you think about it. For 40 years, they've been eating manna. Now, I don't know if you like to eat the same food every day for 40 years, morning, noon, and night. I've got to tell you, I'll be getting a bit sick of the manna at this point. But right at this point, they are now eating of the produce of the promised land, which is quite amazing as well. And now, you know, as they're crossing over into Jordan, I'm trying to imagine this, right? They can actually feel the sand between their toes. This is the land that was promised by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that your descendants would take a hold of this land. They are now stepping into the promise that had been foretold for generations. Joshua is leading them in this moment. You've got to stop and think about that for a moment, what it is they're actually going into. And now they're also faced with the concept and the understanding that they actually have a whole bunch of obstacles in their way. They are now facing the opportunity that God told them that he would give them all of this land. But of course, there's people living in this land. And these people were not going to take it lying down. They knew that at this point, they actually had a battle on their hands. They knew that they were going to be facing. See, the real journey starts now. They are now in the spot where they're going, this gets real. We realize now that, the promise is good, but we've got a battle on our hands. And they're facing that very moment. So this is my title of my sermon this morning, Preparing for Battle. Preparing for battle. What do we need to do in preparing for battle? What's the strategy? What's the plan? Where do we go from here? We're in the promised land, but how do we do it, right? What's it actually look like? What do we need to do? How do we prepare for battle? And I've got to tell you, that was a very similar sentiment when Christine and I first were asked to plant this church in Scarborough. When we first started to sit down and think, what is this going to look like? In our minds, we're going, okay, how do we do it? What's this going to look like? What do we need to prepare for? What are the plans we need to do? And God spoke to us very clearly out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And I've said this a number of times, that it was about a valley of dry bones, and that he would cause life to come out of this dead valley, that those dry bones would be brought into restoration, that out of death we can see life, that out of destruction we can see resurrection. It's that whole concept. But see, we had a sense of a battle that was on our hands. You look at death and you go, well, how's that going to happen? And you start to actually strategize and think to yourself, what are we going to do to get this whole thing in? Hello? There we go. Did you hear that? Yeah, good. Okay. I'm not going silly. But does this sound familiar? The whole concept that in life you're going to face obstacles. In life you're going to have storms that are looming. You look out over the horizon and you can see the storm brewing and you're thinking to yourself, what have I got to do to get prepared for this storm that I'm facing? What have I got to do for this wall that I actually want to break through? How do I actually get over that wall? What are the things that I need to do to prepare for the battle? We all want to get our ducks lined up in a row, don't we? We all want to get the finer details sorted out. We all kind of want to understand, how is it that I can actually get through this and see the victory? And you know, we want to be in control of the storm before the storm actually hits. Does that sound familiar? We see the storm coming, and this whole concept of, yeah, you know what, I know that I've got to go through this, but you know what, can you just go away, because I want to get to the other side of that, you know? Here's the thing. Who knows that there is two ways of doing things? There's the right way and the wrong way. There's God's way and our way, right? And the reality is, when we're preparing for battle, it's so much easier when we do it God's way. So much easier. So we're going to have a look at a text this morning, and I'm going to take you to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. It'll come up on the screen, and we'll have a read of it. Actually, you know what? I don't want to turn my back, but let's have a look at that. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he says, no. Does it puzzle you that he just says no, whether you're for us? Anyway, I don't know about you, that puzzles me. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? He says, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Powerful passage of scripture. But when you first look at that, you start to wonder, okay, what is it that was actually going on in preparing for battle in that moment? Because for all intents and purposes, this was just an encounter with the army, with the commander of the army of the Lord. You know, if we're wanting to prepare, if we're wanting to have our ducks lined up, how do we actually do it? And there's some keys in this passage I want to take you through to show you that God was doing something very purposeful with Joshua in this moment. So the very first thing that I want to share with you around getting prepared for battle is this. First of all, it's obedience. Now, when we look at scripture and we live in the modern day that we live, we kind of shy away from the whole concept of obedience because we kind of think, well, you know what, I'll do it my way. But God was being very specific in this moment. You see, God had spoken very specifically to Joshua in chapter 1 when he said these words, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel." Every place where your foot touches the ground, I have given you. It's very specific. And from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great sea, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. But listen to this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. So it will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I got to tell you, that's a promise right there. So here's the question. What was Joshua doing walking around Jericho? What was he doing checking out the land? Have a look at the verse 13. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho." What did God say in chapter 1? "Everything that you do, every place where you put your feet, I have given you. And no one will be able to stand up against you." But Joshua thinks he's got to go and work out a plan. He's actually walking around Jericho at this point, trying to figure out how he can actually do it. He's scoping out the land. He's looking for the potential of maybe a crack in the wall. Maybe he can find a gate that's open or something like that. He's actually trying to nut it out himself. He's trying to understand. But here's the thing. The reality is, nowhere in the previous four chapters did God say to him at any point, "Go and check out Jericho." Nowhere does he say those words. Nowhere does he say to him, "Hey, Josh, listen, go have a walk around Jericho, suss it out, come back to me and we can have a chat about it and then we'll work out a strategy." Nowhere does God say to him, "Go and check out the land." God is not looking for us to intervene and come up with our own plans. He's already got the plan in place. He's already worked it out. He is just looking for our obedience, and he is just looking for us to partner with his plan. You know, in such a small space of time, Joshua had forgotten whose battle this really was. In four chapters, he had gone from, "Come on, people, let's get ready, let's go. We're going to cross over this Jordan. We're going to take this land," to, "I better go and check it out." He was on his own. Did you notice that? He didn't have any of his commanders with him. He didn't have any army people with him. He didn't have any of his key people. He was literally scoping out the land on his own. He didn't even invite God into the situation. All he had to do was follow the promise that had already been said to him. See, if you look at verse 7 of chapter 1, straight after he promised them this, the only plan that God had given him to this point, he didn't say, "Go and check Jericho out." He didn't give him anything else. He simply gave him one instruction. Have a look at this. This is really important. Verse 7, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." That was the only instruction that he gave to Joshua. But Joshua decided, "Oh, I better go and check it out. I better go and see what's going on there. See, if you just stick with my plan, there's the strategy. There's the winning ticket. There's the Powerball right there. There is the moment that God said, this is what I want you to do." He didn't ask him to go and work it out himself. Just follow me in obedience. Does this sound familiar? This is what we try and do. We try and nut it out. We see the clouds and we think, I've just got to work out a strategy to get through this. When all the while God's already promised that he is in the battle, that he is the victor, that he is the one who's going to bring you through it, and all we have to do is partner with him. You know, when we first started mapping out the plan for Scarborough and thinking, well, how are we going to do this church plant? I can remember we were looking for a place to actually have church, which, of course, we now have the facility that we currently stand in. And Christine and I were actually driving around the areas, like around Innaloo, around Scarborough, around Osmond Park, and we were looking for vacant buildings. We're looking for a place, well, what does it look like? How can we get this thing happen? And I've got to be honest with you, it got to a certain point where we were actually fighting with each other in the car over places that we were looking at. Now, I've got to tell you, that's not part of God's strategy and plan. Now, we would never fight. Don't know what you're talking about. But there was this one Sunday afternoon, and we were actually checking out the City of Stirling Main Civic Centre, which is just over the other side of the freeway in Stirling. And we went there to check out whatever facilities were going on there. And as we're walking around, we realise it's all closed. And it was right at that moment that the Holy Spirit spoke, a.k.a. my wife. And she says to us, hey, why don't we just walk around the building and why don't we begin to declare favour over our circumstances and believe that God's got this? Oh, I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks. In that moment, we just began to walk around that building. We just began to pray. We just began to say, Lord, we just believe for favor. We just believe for your divine intervention. Because I can tell you, I knew of churches that had been trying to find a building in this area and hadn't had success in 12 months. It was not easy to find a facility. Well, to cut a long story short, the next day I walked into the offices of the City of Stirling. Lo and behold, they directed me to come down here, and within 24 hours, we had a place of worship that we could actually meet together. A church had just moved out. I mean, come on. That doesn't just happen. That's the favor of God. That's the favor of the circumstances. But here's the thing. What did God say to us? He told us to go to Ezekiel 37, that out of the valley of dry bones, he would cause something to happen. But what happens in Ezekiel? Ezekiel doesn't come up with a plan. Ezekiel doesn't come up with an idea. God says to him, son of man, can these bones live? Oh, Lord, you know. And he says, okay, son of man, speak to the bones, prophesy to the bones that they will come to life. The very thing that we did in walking around those walls, we had to go back to what God said. Don't come up with the plan yourself. Know that God's already got the plan in place. And as we began to speak and prophesy, look at where we are right now. When you follow God's strategy and God's plan, you don't need to worry about it. He's got it. Don't try and work it out. He's already got it. And then he says, at the end of verse 5 in Ezekiel 37, and then you will know that I am the Lord. When we follow what God says, he comes through every time. He's just looking for our obedience. I didn't ask you to go and scope out Jericho. Just trust me. When preparing for battle, the very first port of call is simply obey God and his word, to trust what he says he will do, he will do. Given the battle, give him the storm. Give him everything that you've got because he's got it. He's just looking for your obedience. Here's the thing. He's the Lord of the battle. He can calm the storm. Remember, Jesus is the one who calms the storm in the middle of it. Let the words of Romans 8 verse 31 ring in your heart. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He's got this the whole time. Is this good? Are we good? All right. So we're going to go a little bit harder. Are we okay with that? The second point in preparing for battle. This is a bit of a hard one. Humility. Oof. Because the problem is every time we talk about humility, pride wants to step up, right? You know, if we're to see a victory, if we're to overcome the storm, God is looking for a humble heart. Have a look at verse 13 of our text. Joshua encounters a man in the road. He lifts his eyes, and the first question he asks us, are you for us or are you for them? And the answer comes back, no. Bit of a riddle, right? And I got to tell you, I was a little bit puzzled at this point. Why does he say no? But let me paraphrase this for you. This is really the context of the conversation that's going on. This is Joshua speaking. Have you come to support my plan? because, you know, I've waited 40 years for this and I think I've got an idea of how we can actually do it. I've been preparing all this time. I kind of know what I'm doing, right? And the commander speaking, which incidentally, I'll just let you know, this commander, this is a pre-incarnate version of Jesus. He's got the face of God right before him. The commander says, I really don't care about your plan. I'm above and beyond your plans. My ways are higher than your ways. This storm, this battle, it's way bigger than you are. It's way bigger than you are. This is actually my battle. And just to let you know, I've come at just the right time. I'm never early and I'm never late. That's the paraphrase version of what's really going on there. He's going, hey, listen, you might think you got it all sorted out. I've come at the right time. I'm in command. You know what you need to realize? I'm in control of this. I'm the commander. It's time you learnt your place. It's time you realize that I'm calling for a humble heart. I'm calling for someone who says, you know what, this is way bigger than me. I need the commander. This is what God's calling for in that moment. The battle you're facing, it's way bigger than you. You've got some fight in you. You know, I like that. I like the fact you've got some fight in you. I can see it. I know you've been preparing for all those 40 years, but remember, I'm the one who told you no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That's my word. That's the words of Jesus. What does humility look like when we're preparing for battle? What does it actually look like? It's simply this. Humility is acknowledging that your inability is the beginning of his ability. Humility is acknowledging that your inability is the beginning of God's total ability to have the circumstance. We need to acknowledge at this point, God, I need your help. God, this is bigger than me. Every storm that I'm facing, every battle that I'm up against, God, this is bigger than me. I need you. That's the humble heart that God is looking for. I can't do this, but Lord, you can. To face the battle ahead with a realization, you've got this, God. You're just requiring me to be on bended knee before you and just declare that you've got this. You know, we still have a part to play, but the strategy and the plan belongs to the Lord. He's the commander. It's his battle. It's time for the commander to be given his rightful place. He's the one sitting on the throne. He's the one in control. Do you know, something God had to remind me of again and again when I looked at the whole thing around Scarborough. I want this church to grow. I want to see the seats filled. I want to see this place packed. And so I start coming out with strategies. I start thinking, I can do this. But here's the reality. I can't. I can't do it. This is way bigger than me. This is so much bigger. And God reminded me, Dave, you're not the commander. And he took me back to Ezekiel 37:3 and he says, he asks me, son of man, can these bones live? My response needs to be, sovereign Lord, commander, my God, my King, you alone know. Come on, that's got to be the response of a humble heart. This is where God took me back. See, church planting in a pandemic, you can't even get it going. This is way bigger than us, right? This is where we've got to realize, God, this is your battle. God, this is your storm, and you're in control of it all. Amen? You're not alone. He's with you. And you know what? Despite the initial sidetrack, this is the response that we see from Joshua in verse 14 when he realizes who it is that he's standing before. And he says this, what does my Lord say to his servant? That's the response that God's looking for. That's a humble response. See, now I see, Lord, now I know that you're in control. This is far bigger than me. I know my place now more than ever. The commander, Almighty God is standing before me. This is bigger than me. See, when those clouds loom in the distance, when it all seems too hard, when the battle's trying to knock you down, it's time to surrender to the Lord of the battle. I love the way the Message translation puts this. Look at this. In James chapter 1, verse 10, he says this. Get serious. Really serious. Get down on your knees before the masters. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. In other words, when you're facing that battle, come on, it's time to get on bended knee. And then he turns up and he's like, come on, son of man, rise. I've got this for you. That's the way you get on your feet. That's the way you get through the battle. It's time to get really serious. It's time to get into a position of a humble heart. Does that make sense? Okay, we're ready. We're on the final stretch. Worship team, can you join me? The final key we learn in preparing for battle is this, and it's coupled with a humble heart. We see the ultimate response from Joshua is this: worship. Worship. Now, this all sounds quite strange. This all sounds quite countercultural. See, when you face a battle, how does obedience, humility, and worship win a battle? It totally doesn't make sense, right? And when we look at this, see, here's the picture. The walls of Jericho aren't even falling. The battle hasn't even begun. And we find Joshua humbly bowing before the Lord in worship, as if he knows that he's been given the victory already and he's begun celebrating with worship. Hang on. Don't we wait till the final siren's gone before we celebrate? Don't we wait till the battle's actually finished to actually have the celebration? Don't you remember the ticker tape parade after World War II? That was after the war. That's when the celebrating starts. Isn't that the way we do it? See, the gospel is so countercultural. The word of God is totally countercultural to our understanding, to our mind. You see, God says, no. I need you worshiping now because I'm bringing the victory. See, the victory comes when we come in obedience and humility and worship before our God. He says, that's where the victory comes. Before the battle's even begun, when the clouds are looming, when you're looking out there, God says, come on, just worship me. I've got this. When the wall is so hard and you look at it and you go, I could never climb that wall. I could never see those walls crumble down. I could never see this circumstance change. God says, just worship me. I've got this. You know, faced with the battle, faced with the storm, and the knowledge that it's too hard, that this is bigger than me, this is the response that Jesus is looking for. Now we give him our all. Now we go to complete abandonment. Now we go to complete worship. And it's time to take the sandals off. It's time to bow before the King. See, the battle, whatever's looming, it's gone. Look at Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 when he faced an impossible task. I encourage you to read it, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He has got two entire kingdoms coming against Israel. It is an impossible battle. So what does Jehoshaphat do? He begins to call a fast and worship, and he and the entire nation of Israel begin to bow before their God and in worship. The next day, the Moabites turn on themselves and fight amongst themselves, and they're all slaughtered and gone. Where's the battle won? The battle's won in worship. The battle's won before it even begins. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before their Lord. And the victory comes. The victory comes in Jesus. For Joshua, the final victory was still 7 days away. 7 days away. And the final victory is not even in a sight for him. But worship had already begun because there was no doubt in his mind. There was no doubt in his heart that with the commander standing before him, the victory was theirs. You know, you might be facing a battle right now that seems absolutely impossible. You might be facing a storm that is just so hard. You might be in whatever the circumstance might be, you might be in a financial battle right now. Can I tell you, the battle belongs to the Lord. You might be facing a relational battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. you know, you might be looking out on the horizon and think that storm is brewing. That is looking like a doozy. How's my house going to hold up? Those hailstones, they're going to be huge. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. He is more than able. Bring him in. Bring him into your circumstance. He says, he's asking you, he's inviting you, bring me in to your circumstance and let me fight your battle. Check this out. Joshua is still bowing before the Lord in worship, and the Lord speaks to him about the battle ahead. Joshua chapter 6, 1 and 2, it says this. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. It's an impossible situation. And the Lord says to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Wow. Bowing in worship, the battle hasn't begun. And God says to him, see, I have given it to you. It's there right from the outset. Before it's even begun, he's won the battle. I've given you victory. I have taken it. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not anything in your ability, it's totally in my ability. Your inability is the beginning of his ability when we let him have control. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.